So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3 tonight. So if you'll turn there and stand with me, we'll read our verses. Proverbs chapter 3. I try to be sensitive to the Lord about what He would have us to do. In fact, I try to always be sensitive to the Lord about what He would have us to do by way of messages, because generally what I like to do is stick to the process. But I also know that sometimes God has the ability and the authority to go ahead and make us or point us in a different direction. And so He's doing that again tonight. And so that means He has something for us. Now, I do want you to know that when this happens, that it does not mean, now this is a really encouraging and positive message, but when this happens, don't think that, well, I know why Pastor did this. I know why, because of me and because of what we're, it's not the case. Now, I won't say that in the past, like years and years ago, that I didn't maybe have frustrations with people and decide, well, I'm going to preach a sermon about that. But I don't do that anymore. With the Lord's help, I try to not think about people. Like Jeremiah, God said to Jeremiah, remember in chapter 1, don't look at their faces, just preach the word.
Yes,
so that's what we're doing tonight. Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 5. So familiar, but I think there's a fresh thought here tonight. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Isn't that a great passage? That passage single-handedly helped me with so many issues in college, and then from there. So I think God has a great thought for us tonight. In fact, the title is Pause and Pray. Capital P, pause, and capital P, pray. Pause and pray. And that's what we need to learn to do. And I think that encouragement is in this passage. Let's even do that now. Father, we ask Your blessings on the message. Help our hearts to be in tune with You. Touch us, change us to be, Lord, like You. Maybe You say it this way. God, help us to acknowledge You, to learn to acknowledge You, to be inspired to acknowledge You consistently with discipline, so that we might allow You to direct our path. Put us on Your path and help us to have faith, to trust that You're not going to lead us wrong. We'll give You glory for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You can be seated. God's interested that we're on the right path. He's interested in that. And we should be interested in that too, right? We should want to be on the right path. God wants us to be on the right path. It's sort of like spiritual fitness. I'm doing a sermon at camp called God's Fitness Program. I had a meeting with Brother Chad today. Any of y'all that are going to camp, you're in for a treat with us, I think. But Brother Chad, I said today, I want you to do skits before my messages. Every time I do a sermon, I want you to do a skit. But I need somebody else to do this with you. And so we thought of Brother Andrew Rodriguez, the youth pastor in St. Joe. So I called him today and I said, hey, we're going to be at camp together. Would you be willing to be a partner with Brother Chad in doing these skits right before my message? And I got the themes. I just need you two guys to come up with something funny to do right before the message. And they're going to wear wigs and it's just going to be a blast. It's going to be so, so funny. One of my messages at camp is God's Fitness Program. So they're going to do a skit before fitness. It's going to be great. Well, God's interested not just in our like physical fitness. He is interested in our spiritual fitness, in the condition of our heart, spiritually speaking. He's interested in our walk. How many of you like to go out walking? I'm not saying that you do it like you should, but you like to. Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it, when you have a good walk and get your blood flowing. It's good for you. In fact, I tend to be very interested in fitness. And maybe it doesn't look like as much, but I am interested. And I have observed things about walking, that just walking, if you'll just, friends, get out and walk for 15, 20, or 30 minutes a day, I know that's a long time, but if you'll just do that, how it'll change your body and just help you so much. So, well, that's true physically. It's also true spiritually. It matters where you're walking. It matters the direction you're walking. It matters how you're walking. You know, and God wants us to sit, to be on the right path. Grant and I were, we meet on Mondays for Bible study. Now, this isn't a Monday like Bible study in the office. This is a dad and son time after we have devotions. And so it's bedtime, everybody go to bed, but somebody gets to stay up an extra about 30 minutes. So Monday is Grant's day. And I love the book he and I are going through. I used to think, man, it's so basic. But now when I'm reading through it, in fact, the just Monday, a couple days ago, we had our time and we're reading through it. And the chapter we're reading is about getting godly counsel. And I'm reading through it, I'm like, man, this is good, this is good. And then I got to one of the points, I had to pause, and Grant said, Dad, why did you stop? Because I'm going to write a sermon on this. So then I got my iPad out, and I started typing stuff. Give me just a second here, hang on. So I try not to get too distracted. But you know, I don't know if you're like me, but if you don't write something down or do it right then, you'll forget about it. So anyway, I had to put him on pause and write all that out. Well, the chapter was on counsel. Now think about counsel for a minute, getting counsel. I'm not just talking about ungodly counsel, Psalm chapter 1. How does that start off? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So it matters who you get counsel from, right? There's ungodly counsel and then there's godly counsel. But what if you say, I don't need any counsel? Then you're really on the wrong side of your walk with God. If you think about it, if you do not get counsel and you're making big decisions in life, then there's a danger there that potentially you're making choices that's getting you off the right path. And your walk can be wrong. It can be. That's why God... Read Proverbs. How many verses are in the book of Proverbs that say, get wise counsel? Get wise counsel. And in Psalms it says, don't get bad counsel. You know, because bad counsel is all around, but we need to get good counsel. So there's a danger there connected to making big decisions but not talking to people who can just maybe show you blind spots. We had a deacons meeting today. Now, what is the point of having deacons? Because deacons are like rear view mirrors for the pastor. And you know, you have the mirrors over here, mirror up here. And what are those things designed to do? To take care of the blind spots, right? And sometimes you got to look over your shoulder too, because there's that little area there you're going to get over. Sometimes the mirrors miss it. Well, that's deacons. Deacons say, hey, you're missing here, missing there. And it's wise for me to get counsel from these guys, right? It's wise for us to get counsel because our walk can be wrong if we're not getting good counsel. So we need God's guidance. If you're going to get God's guidance, God's counsel, because we need godly counsel, but guess whose counsel we need more than anybody? We need God's counsel. If you're going to get that, what do you need to learn to do? Pause and pray. You need to learn to pause and pray. Because if you don't do that, there's a good chance you're going to become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. At the end of our service today, we're going to sing, Be Ye Doers of the Word. How appropriate. Another time, Brother Chad put a song in there. He had no idea that we were going to be talking about that. Be a doer of the word. There's a danger there that we'll become a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word if we don't decide that we're going to, through life, learn to pause and pray. Remember when Brother McFarland was here and he mentioned just sort of in the middle of his sermon, and I've alluded to it more than once already since they've left, but he said there's a difference in devising your own way versus getting direction from God. Being directed from God means you can trust, or at least why we would get direction from God is because we trust Him, according to this passage. But we trust God because God already knows where He's taking us. He already knows the future. And so when we allow Him to direct us, then the future is settled in the hands of God. But if we don't let God direct us, then what are we left with? Our own devisings. And so we get our scratch pad out, and we put all the pros and cons down, and we try to work all the details, work the finances on, and we devise all of these strategies and plans, And when we do that, and by the way, I'm not saying it's wrong to put strategies together, but I'm saying if we're devising versus letting God direct us, then your best surmise, your best strategy, your best plan is still fingers crossed, isn't it? Because you do not know the future. You don't know if your plan's going to work. But we know God's plan's going to work, or we trust that God's plan's going to work. And so we have that contrast, and really we see that in our passage. Before we get to it, let me say that getting direction from God is like I said, the opposite of putting together your own strategy. It reminded me of the boys and I like to play games, and we would play Stratego. Anybody played Stratego? Okay, some hands. I'm good at Stratego. We should play. I would be interested to play. My kids are bad at Stratego. They're like extra bad at it. And they're like, "Why, Dad? I can never beat you, Dad." I'm like, "'Cause you do the same thing every time." Okay? I know exactly. Give me three chances. I can tell you where your flag is. And by the way, that's Stratego. It's capture the flag. You got to hide your flag, and there's about 50 pieces. And if I can give three guesses and pick your flag out of 50 pieces, that means not good strategy, right? So there needs to be strategy involved. But remember, like, your best strategy isn't as good as God's directions. You could be the best at strategizing. You're not as good as just following God's direction. Amen. And by the way, solitaire. Anybody, any solitaire? Okay. Ah, yeah. I thought maybe I'd have three hands. The same three hands that raise your hand on Cracklin' O'Brien. Which, by the way, offended me a little bit. That's good stuff. Anyway, solitaire's fun. I'm bad at it. I won't give up. Because I'm thinking, surely, there's not a lot of skill involved with this. It's just this color there, go there, I can't win. Not without cheating. That's not really winning, is it? I mean, I cheat every time. But I try to win without cheating, but then I'm not going to put the cards away. I went through this much. I'm going to try to win even if I have to cheat. So we're going to work through it. And so really, the same is true in our life about devising. You're not going to win by putting together your own strategy. It's kind of a losing strategy. To devise. We need to embrace God's strategy. So tonight in this passage, I'm going to give you three simple steps, and I think they're there. Clearly, they're there, that will help you or lead you to do this thing. Pause and pray. You embrace these three things that are here. It will help you to, in life, stop devising your own thing. Stop doing that. Pause, pray. Pause, pray. These three things right here in this passage. Number one, trust God. Watch this last word, completely. Trust God completely. Look at verse 5, trust in the Lord. And then he said it, didn't he? With all thine heart. Now, trust, the word trust means to have confidence. But completely trusting is like a childlike faith. It's like my kids when they were little. Well, something is absolutely true. Why? Because Dad said. Hello. Dad said it. It is absolutely true. They have no reason to not believe every word that comes out of their parents. It's childlike faith. That's the kind of faith that God is saying you need to have if you're going to learn to pause and pray. A childlike faith that says, I trust God completely. Well, what if God leads me down this path and I don't know, and I don't know, and I don't know? Well, do you trust him completely? Then it'll help you to pause and pray. How many of you have ever heard of the trust fall? Oh, yes. You didn't hear the trust fall? Anybody want to try the trust fall tonight? Aiden, you want to try it? Come on, buddy. I'm pretty sure nobody else in here has wanted to. I don't think I can handle it. But I can handle you. You want to give it a try? Okay, come on. He's doing it. Give him a hand. All right, trust fall. Do you know what it is?
Yeah.
That means you turn around, look at everybody, hold your hands out, like straight up. And then whenever you're ready, you just fall backwards. And then hopefully I won't let you hit the ground. You can't look. Ah, you almost made it. Your step moved back. You want to try it again? You just got, oh, and he gave up. See what I mean? It's hard to do the trust fall, isn't it? So the idea there is that we would we would trust the Lord, that we would know that I know. And by the way, can I say that trusting God is infinitely more reliable than trusting your pastor when you're on platform in front of everybody? Infinitely more confidence you can have in God to put your whole life in the hands of God. Say, you know what, Lord? I do not know, but you do. And I'm just going to let you lead the way. I'm going to let you direct me because you know, and I trust you. Did you know that it kind of removed stress and worry? Stress and worry rules many of our lives often. Stress and worry, and usually they're related. You get stressed out about something, and then it starts ruling your life. You almost can't get over it. You know, stress. Ooh, I'm just feeling stressed. And you just, have you ever had that crinkle in your head because, you know, like you're doing this, and you're just, it's that stress that you feel in your body. They say that stress is a lot of why people have so many physical problems that they have, like health problems, is often stress-related and affects your body, and you can feel that. Stress is usually an indication, almost always an indication, that there's a trust problem that God can take care of it, that He can handle it. And worry is related to that. Worry is like that. Ooh, how's this going to work out? I mean, I don't think we're going to have enough money, or I don't think we're going to be, you know, or what about my teenager, and I'm just afraid, and they have these issues, you know, and my kids, and I don't know, and or what about our house, or what about, and we worry, what about my job, and we worry about all these things. And worry is another part of us not having the kind of trust that we should have. That if we just let God navigate this thing, He's not going to fail us. He's going to get us through it. It's a powerful truth. Trust. So the first step in learning to pause and pray and do it consistently all day long is, number one, trust God, but watch, completely. Number two, ready for this one? There's a comma in this one, so I'm going to say the first two words, comma. Ready? Trust yourself, comma, zero. Trust yourself, zero. Look at verse 5 again, last part. And lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not basically means do not trust yourself. Don't do it. Don't trust. Maybe we could say it like this to connect back to our previous illustration about devising, strategizing, coming up with a plan. God says, don't trust your plan. Especially over against God's plan. You know, the world has, I mean, this is a philosophy of the world, right? Trust yourself. And so I just typed in slogans on trust yourself. And there's some good ones. I'm going to read a few of them to you, okay? Here we go. And by the way, let me give you a disclaimer. Some of these trust yourself slogans make absolutely no sense. So just be mindful of that. The first one. Just trust yourself, and then you will know how to live. So if you just trust yourself, somehow you'll figure out how to live. That's what that, I think, means. Just trust yourself, and you'll figure it out. Okay, number two. This one's even better. Turn your back to the wind. Close your eyes and let go. Let the wind lead you where you want to be. It didn't even rhyme. I thought, man, if it rhymed, then it would make better sense. It doesn't even rhyme. Just let the wind be your guide. And that's going to get you right where you need to be. Eesh. Next. If you need somebody you can trust, trust yourself. Next. Trust yourself. You know more than you think you do. And lastly, do not seek approval from others for the choices you make. Trust yourself to guide your life in the direction that makes the complete sense to you. You know, of all those slogans, absolutely, either if they make no sense, then it's hard for me to even understand what they're trying to say. But even the ones that make sense, what is true is actually the opposite, isn't it? precisely the opposite. One of the slogans was, if you need somebody you can trust yourself. Let me tell you what's actually true. If you need somebody you can trust, don't trust yourself, trust God. That's true. The next one after that one was, trust yourself, you know more than you think you do. Here's what's actually true. Never trust yourself because you don't know as much as you think you do. Sometimes we get into this thing where we're devising our own way, and it's not so much that we're embracing this philosophy of the world that says, trust yourself, but we do it by implication because we don't go to God. We are trusting ourselves when we are deciding not to stop, to pause, and pray and get God's direction. And if we're not doing that, we're not getting counsel from God or counsel from godly people, then what are we doing? We're devising. And in that, it's wrapped up in the meaning of that. You're trusting yourself. You're trusting your way. And it will always, I think I can get an amen to this, it will always lead you to problems. Always. Steps of learning to pause and pray, number one, was trust God completely. Number two was trust yourself, zero. And then the last point in this series of points is remember He's always there. And I love this. I love this one. He's always there. This is really important. Look at the first part of verse 6. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. Okay, now we sort of get focused in on that acknowledge part. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. Because we do need to acknowledge God. And that's part of getting direction, is acknowledging Him. But look at the first phrase in that verse 6. In all thy ways. Now think about that. That phrase literally means in all the roads that you'll face in life, in all the crossroads, and all of the forks in the road, and all every decision that you need to make in life. God says, in all your ways. That implies that in every decision you need to make in life, God is available to you. He's there. If God says that you can get His direction in all your ways, the implication is clearly that He's there, available for you to go to Him anytime, in any direction that you need. I want to develop a kind of relationship with my boys that when they're graduated from high school, they still want to be around us. I'm not saying live maybe at the home for till they're, 40 or 50, but of course I was talking about you, Miss Misty. That backfired. Anyway, see what I mean? When I started this sermon, it wasn't in there. But anyway, God knows. But I want to have a relationship. The idea is that we're friends and that I want them to want to be around us and I want to be around them. I want that kind of relationship. And God wants to guide us in our life. He wants us to know that He is always available. He's always there. You can go to God anytime. You can talk to Him anytime. He's always available to you. Always. And that really helps. Why? Because you can pause and pray and you have no excuse not to. He's always there. So trust God completely. Trust yourself zero. And remember, God's always there. And then with that, now you can learn to do it. You can learn to acknowledge Him. Acknowledge, what is that? It means pause and pray. It means stop what you're doing and pray. And ask God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to deal with this? Now, acknowledge literally means to know or to make known. So to do that, you have to stop and you have to have a conversation, right? Sort of like when, I've said this before, but Alex and I took that trip to Branson and we were together and Alex is quiet already, which wasn't a bad thing. It was actually pretty nice. It was like a stint of 2 hours. We didn't even talk to each other. And I wasn't thinking, I wonder what's wrong with Alex. I didn't ever think that. But if it was my wife in the car and we went 2 hours and didn't talk, we all know there's a problem there. You know, we need to acknowledge each other. We need to have a conversation. And that's what God's saying here, acknowledge. It means stop and talk. We need to talk to each other. And in life, you've got a lot of decisions you need to make. I mean, there's a lot of things we need to navigate through. And God says, I'm here for you. You can trust me. You have to decide to trust me completely. You have to decide to stop trusting yourself. You have to stop using the excuse that you're too busy because I'm always available. And then just stop and let's have a conversation about this. And here's what we do. We start biting our fingernails about our finances. And we start making all these plans and strategizing and devising. And man, I might have to get another job. I might have to do this. And I have to do all this stuff, you know. And I don't know what we're going to do. And just the money isn't there. And it's money, money, money. We just can't stop thinking about it. We start worrying about it. And I obviously can't tithe. I mean, we can't tithe. We can't afford that. And then so we just write that off. And then that's not even the picture. In fact, we're going to need to start selling some of our furniture. And we just put all these plans together. And it gets real dramatic, right? And gas prices are going up. And I'm not minimizing that it is getting harder. And it's true, isn't it? It's not like our salaries and the amount of money that we're bringing in is more, and the amount of, prices of things goes up. It's actually not that way. Prices are going up. We're not getting any more money, really. So I don't want to minimize that these issues are there. But here's the point, that we go through these hard things, and instead of stopping and praying, we devise. And you don't have to do that. God says tonight, if you'll trust me enough that I can get you through this, if you'll just follow me, then when you start to feel overwhelmed about your finances, that you would stop and have a conversation with God about it. And that would change everything, wouldn't it? It would change everything. And we worry about relationships. What about them? And is there an offense there? And are they upset at me? And then I don't know. And we worry about those relationship issues. And here's what God says: You don't have to lose sleep about this. When you're thinking these thoughts, if you'll just stop and have a conversation, and God says, I'll get you through this. I'll get you on the right path. I'll help you. I'll direct your way. You don't have to devise your own way. You don't have to figure out how to reconcile things. I said, just get on my path. I'll help you to get things the way they need to be. There's so many things that overwhelm our minds. And instead of just stopping and just praying about it, we just continue on. We get angry about things. You know what anger does? It controls us. You just let it control you. God says you don't have to do that. Well, good thing I never get angry. I wish. But how about the next time you're struggling with being upset with someone or with something? Sometimes it's the toaster. It could be anything, especially if you're tired, right? So when you start feeling that anger and it's sort of overwhelming you and you're just going to navigate through this thing on your own, how about we just stop and acknowledge, talk to God about it, pause and pray. God, I my anger's here, and I know this isn't right. Would you help me to deal with this anger? Question, do you trust God enough that He can help you through that issue, those issues? Do you trust yourself? Because if you trust God completely and you trust yourself zero, and you know God's available, then all you need to do is pause and pray, and He'll direct your path. He says, I'm available to you. I will direct you through this. You just got to acknowledge me. You got to stop and talk to me about it. And we're too busy to talk to God about these things. You ever going through your day and you're wanting to think about God and you're wanting to think right. You want to change. God, I want to change. I want to be different. I want to be better. I want to be stronger. And then you're going through the day and you have this song from your past. And I'll tell you, songs have a way of getting in there, don't they? And you just can't get them out. And especially if you like go to the store or you hear somebody else listening to it and then it's in there and you remember that song. And songs are things that just come back. And you remember all the words, and then you have that song going through your head. And you're sort of humming it or thinking about it, and then it's sort of tempting. You're wanting to listen to more. And instead of letting these kinds of things control us or have a You know, the same thing can be true in having the wrong kinds of thoughts in our mind, and we just keep thinking about these things and that we shouldn't be thinking about. How about just instead of letting those things control us, we pause and pray. God, would you get this song out of my heart? I don't want this song to be in there. It's not godly. It's not the song you want me to have. Would you replace it? I'll tell you that in the times in my life when those kinds of things have happened and I just pause and I pray, God's blessings fall on it. It's as though God just says, I'm here for you and I'm going to get you through this and I'm going to help you through this difficult time that you're going through right now. Whether it's the worry or the finances or the relationships or the stress or the being overwhelmed, which by the way can happen pretty quickly sometimes. You just, you know, whenever things start coming your way, and it's not that you just got to deal with one thing, but you have to deal with 10 things. Pause, pray. Philippians 4:6, don't turn there. Here's what it says. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request. And then it says this, be made known unto God. That's what acknowledge means. Remember what I said, acknowledge means to make something known? Or to be, it literally means to know or to make known. So God says, let your request be made known to me. Stop and talk to God. It's good stuff. Yeah. Let me ask you a few questions and we're done. Have you been devising your own strategies? Have you forgotten that you can trust God completely? Last, have you forgotten that He's always there? He's always there. You just have to pause, which sometimes feels like an emotional thing, right? Pause and pray. I challenge you. Pause and pray. Watch what He does. Pretty amazing. Father, I pray your blessings tonight that we would learn this great truth. Wow, I feel like it's a fundamental truth, but it's also a powerful, life-altering, direction-setting truth of just learning to pause and pray and all of the different anxieties and stress and overwhelmed and anger and worry and just whatever the issue is there, Lord, to just pause and seek you about it. And you can help us through these hard things and guide us through these hard things. And we don't have to devise our own plans. We just need to follow you. And I pray you'd help us to learn to do this, Lord. I pray that even tonight that you would allow somebody to remember this simple thought, pause and pray, and that as they're having an overwhelming thought, maybe can't sleep tonight because of something in their mind, that they would just pause and pray. Guide us in that path, please. Help us to gain an understanding of this great truth. Lead us in your way, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.